First of all, let me thank you all for being here, and we're really excited to be here today. Even on this gloomy day, it's still warm inside because we have some pretty great things to be excited about. I am Senator Bobby Jill Champion, and I am the chair of Jobs and Economic Development, and also you'll hear from the vice chair as well, Senator Muhammad. Most people often ask, what is this bill really about, and what really does it represent? It represents a number of different things. You will see that this bill is about job creation, growing our economy, and supporting both businesses and workers. And so the folks that you see behind me represents a cross-section of what this bill is really all about. You'll see that Christelle Porter is here, who represents West Broadway, and you see others, just to name a few. Because it's not just about Minneapolis or the suburbs, it's also about rural Minnesota. So once you look into the depths of this bill, that you'll see that it's about our economy and equity. Because this bill provides opportunities for folks who've been forgotten or left behind. And it addresses that by making investments in communities of color, low-income communities, and places across greater Minnesota. We then begin to recognize that we're all in this together. All of Minnesota, whether that's women, BIPOC communities, Minnesotans, veterans, people with disabilities, folks from the cities, and all across greater Minnesota stand to benefit from this bill. I'm also particularly excited because it allows us to remain globally competitive. These investments in semiconductor chips and the industrial manufacturing will make us globally competitive and could attract matching federal grants as well as private investments. And you'll hear from two of those leaders in this innovative area that I want to make sure that we lift up because it helps to improve our quality of life. We are taking important steps to improve quality of life for all Minnesotans. And what is one way that that's being done? Child care. We understand the seriousness of the problem and we are addressing it. Not just in the metropolitan area, but we hear from our friends all across greater Minnesota how this is an important issue and that we need to address it in real time. This bill represents so many other things, so I'm not going to take the brunt of things. I'm going to leave the opportunity for the wonderful vice chair, Senator Muhammad, to come forward and tell you her perspective on the bill as well. Senator Muhammad.
Thank you, Senator Champion. Hi, everybody. My name is Zeta Mohammed. I represent South Minneapolis, and I'm the Vice Chair of Jobs and Economic Development Committee. I'm really excited about this bill. This bill is good for all of Minnesota. Senator Champion said it right. It will create jobs in our communities. It will grow our economy. And most importantly, this bill reflects our values. The thing we most talk about is the fact that our budgets have to reflect who we are and what we stand for, and this bill does. It ensures that we have, this is one of the most equitable bills probably this session. And we heard from thousands of advocates and community groups and business and labor. And the thing we heard most about was the fact that people wanted to come back from the, now that we're coming back from the pandemic, they wanted our jobs to be able to reflect that. And we did a good job of that. We also made sure that we were intentional in including people who were from not just South or North or but all over Minnesota. That's why we focused on in greater Minnesota. And the thing we heard most about was the fact that in greater Minnesota, there's a growing population and younger folks are leaving. And they're coming to the metro to find jobs. And they wanted us to continue building those communities, bringing jobs to them. And that's what this bill does. And so I'm really excited about it. I'm proud of the work that our committee did. And our chair was really intentional in engaging everyone. It's also, I'd like to say, a bipartisanship. Our members who are on the other side of the aisle had bills that they presented, and those bills are reflected in this bill. And so it's really important to name some of the things that are in this bill. It's one of the most equitable bills in the state this session. It will grow our economy. It will continue to bring more jobs to our state. And communities of color who often have been left behind in the conversation, folks who don't have big lobbyists walking around our halls and talking to us are reflected in this bill. And I think a good example of that is All Square in my district is reflected in this bill. They didn't have a lobbyist. They're an organization that is doing really good work in putting people in the workforce after they come out of prison. And they're reflected in this bill. That's not just one, but that's one of many organizations that's reflected in this bill. And so thank you for being here. I'd like to introduce Dr. Iyer, who is with Polar Semiconductor.
Say your name and spell it.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you, Senator Muhammad and Senate President Champion. My name is Surya Iyer, S-U-R-Y-A-I-Y-E-R, and I'm the president of Polar Semiconductor in Bloomington, Minnesota. The investment stipulated in this bill leverages the Federal CHIPS Act, which is a bipartisan law that addresses national security and supply chain concerns in the United States. More than that, it maximizes private investment, which is by far the biggest part of the total. And in doing so, has a multiplier effect, huge multiplier effect, to the tune of potentially over $2 billion in investment into the semiconductor ecosystem of the state of Minnesota. And this ecosystem, it consists of 30-plus really strong companies that are in chip manufacturing, chip equipment manufacturing and design and in other suppliers. This means thousands of high-paying, high-tech manufacturing jobs that will sustain, that will have family-sustaining wages. Companies that will get this funding are required to attract people who have been underrepresented in our industry, Black, Indigenous, people of color, women, veterans, rural workers. But I don't want you to think that this is just about a few semiconductor companies like Polar Semiconductor. This is much bigger than that. The investments are expected to have big spillover benefits. Companies that get funding are required to work with high schools, technical colleges, universities to create the next generation of skilled workers who are going to support a growing high-tech manufacturing industry. The bill requires us to work with or to contract with women-owned, minority-owned, veteran-owned small businesses, work with unions, with companies in construction, in housing, in energy, with job training and job placement organizations, childcare providers. I am grateful and I am proud as somebody who calls Minnesota my home that the leadership of the state, Governor Walz, Senate President Bobby Joe Champion, Senate leadership, House leadership, have worked in making this investment into our communities, which will pay off for a long time to come. Thank you, and it is my pleasure to introduce Dr. Melanie Tomchek,
yes.
Chief Technology Officer of BioMade.
Yes, thank you. My name is Melanie Tomchek, M-E-L-A-N-I-E-T-O-M-C-Z-A-K. So I'd like to thank Chairman Champion and Vice Chair Muhammad for having us here today. As I said, I'm the Chief Technology Officer for BioMade, a nationwide nonprofit that is based here in the Twin Cities. BioMade is a network of 190 universities, companies, community colleges, and nonprofits with a mission to promote the bioeconomy and bioindustrial manufacturing across the U.S. Following President Biden's executive order on biomanufacturing, innovation, and the economy, there has been remarkable congressional leadership in this area. Congress passed the 2023 Consolidated Appropriations Act, which included $300 million in federal funds secured by Minnesota Congresswoman Betty McCollum to fund bioindustrial manufacturing pilot-scale facilities. The investment of $100 million of state fund in this committee's bill will be matched by $100 million in federal funding to create bioindustrial manufacturing campus and pilot scale that is unmatched in the country, and it's going to be right here in Minnesota. It's good for Minnesota's farmers and rural communities. It will create quality jobs for the state's diverse workforce in urban, suburban, and exurban communities, and it yields economic growth by manufacturing products here in Minnesota. The importance of biomanufacturing is demonstrated by the support we have received by Chairman Champion, as well as Senate Majority Leader Dietzick, Senate Minority Leader Johnson, bipartisan members of the House and Senate, and the Walz administration. Over the coming decade, the bioeconomy is estimated to create $4 trillion in annual economic activity. The leadership demonstrated today by Chairman Champion's committee provides Minnesota with a once-in-a-generation opportunity to lead this transformation for the benefit of the people of Minnesota, the environment, and the state's future. Thank you, Chairman Champion, Vice Chair Mohammed, and Senator Putnam for your commitment to invest in the quality job and economic opportunities biomanufacturing will bring to Minnesota. Thank you.
And the last thing I want to say before we get our go to questions, you see behind us a cross-section of Minnesotans. No one has been left behind. This is about all of us. So as we stand united with BioMade and Polar, we also see Twin Cities Rise over there. We also see Northside and Southside businesses. We see Greater Minnesota. This reflects who we are. So if nothing else, I hope that becomes a headline, because that's what we're really all about, is uniting together and creating opportunities for our futures to be brighter. So with that, we'll answer any questions that any of you might have. And you can ask anyone the question, so it doesn't have to just be me.
How does this stack up against the House version?
Say it one more time.
How does this stack up against the House version?
Well, we always like to say the Senate version is better, so let's just be clear there. But there's some synergy between us. You know, there will be energy. There's room for all the entities that are standing behind me. So we are all focused on making sure that Greater Minnesota gets what they need, Minneapolis gets what they need, the suburb gets what they need, but also for us to look to the future. So we are in lockstep with each other on those principles. Now we have to get into the details.
Can you remind us what your target was?
Well, see, I knew you were going to ask me that great question. And so I know in economic development, it was roughly 240. And then also in workforce, it was around the same number. And then we had a target of $500 million for federal funds so that we can utilize that investment so that our businesses are able to compete for those federal dollars. And last but certainly not least, what we want is the return that the investment is going to yield us. So in order to compete for that $4 trillion that we have to make sure that we're in the game, right? Guess what? If we don't make the investment, we truly would know what the outcome would be.
That's right, that the match was not within your target. It had its own pot of money.
That is correct.
And, go ahead. I was going to ask Polar. I guess the 10,000-foot view of the CHIPS Act was that it was much of the money was going to kind of big fabs and creating these centers around the country. But it sounds from your description that while that may be true, there is also money that is going to go to smaller operations shy of building some big, gigantic new fab?
That's a very good question, yes. The $52 billion CHIPS Act kind of breaks down into $38 billion in manufacturing, $11 billion for centers for manufacturing and packaging, and $2 billion for Department of Defense R&D. So out of that $38 billion in manufacturing, $10 billion is dedicated for what is referred to as current and legacy technologies. And most of the semiconductor companies involved would fall into that group, current and legacy technologies. So there's a big pool. Also, we should not forget that Minnesota should compete
in the $11 billion Center for Technology and Innovation, as well as the $2 billion R&D, which I think the coalition will participate in, and we will hopefully get some of that funding as well.
Can you remind me how many centers were envisioned in the bill?
I don't want to speak incorrectly, but I believe there's 9 is the target, but I'm not 100% sure.
Do you think Minnesota could still be in that competition?
Absolutely.
For the underinformed among us, could you explain what biomanufacturing is,
or yes.
what some examples
yes.
of products
yeah,
are?
I would love to do that. So we use feedstocks such as corn and soybeans and even dandelions to make sustainable products like chemicals, materials, and even food. So using stainless steel fermenters like you would see in a craft brewery, put the feedstocks in with the microbes, and out comes your product on the other side.
And
what I would say is one of the exciting things about it, because I was amazed by this, is that they can take a dandelion and do some amazing things with it, something that we are able to use. Now, the reason why I like using that example is because in my yard, I don't want any dandelions. But what this represents is the innovative ideas where we can take something that sometimes we discard and we can turn it into something that we all can use. But that's the future. And Minnesota has historically been a leader, and we want to continue to be a leader. And guess what? The other people behind me profits from it, because that CHIPS Act, that $52 billion, then there's $39 million for, like, workforce. There's intentional language that says that you have to work with communities of color and women and veterans. And so to me, that's exciting. And I also like to make us aware of the fact that when you think in terms of this technology that we use every single day, that these businesses or corporations have to go over to Europe to get it manufactured and done. So what would happen if one of them decided they didn't want to sell to us anymore? We would have a national crisis. Now, I don't think I'm overstating that, because that is the truth. And so what are we trying to do? Make sure that we are creating an opportunity for the future, livable wage jobs, and for there to be these incredible collaborations that we all benefit from. So any additional questions?
There's somebody here from the Camden Bank incubator project, or
the who?
The Camden Bank up in the Northside.
Northside. Oh, no. So there's no one here for that, but they would be eligible, because what we tried to do under the Promise Act is to really make sure that we are intentional about opportunities in North Minneapolis. That's why we also have Christelle Porter here from West Broadway. And West Broadway and Camden and others in North Minneapolis, then in South Minneapolis, we wanted to make sure the corridors of Lake Street and 38th and Riverside were presented, and then also St. Paul, there's a corridor, and then we were intentional about making sure that there's money that could get to greater Minnesota as well.
Could you talk for just a minute about the child care access, the $15 million for that? I don't know if that seems like a lot or a little, or if there's money going to child care and other parts of the budget, but I know that it is a pressing need all over the state, and what at least is this $15 million for?
So this $15 million is for child care a lot in greater Minnesota. We recognize that there's needs also in the metropolitan area. We had a child care day where Senator Putnam and others brought forth initiatives from greater Minnesota and across. And so that investment, I believe, is helpful, but we really need to do more, right? And so there are other areas in other budgets where child care is going to be addressed, whether that's capital building facilities, whether that's also making sure that child care workers are, paid incredibly or better. But we're trying to look at that issue and deal with it in real time, and we recognize that we need to make the investment, so we've made the investment in our bill.
Senator, I'm sorry if you stated this at the beginning, but Our state is facing a difficult time recruiting and retaining workers. I'm wondering if you can talk about how your bill sort of approaches that or how it meets this moment.
Yeah, thank you so much. Meeting the moment is important. So our bill does that with the cross-section of opportunities. So when we think in terms of small businesses, first of all, because we understand that small businesses are the backbone to our economy. We know that those small businesses also hire people from those neighborhoods as well. So we want to make sure that businesses under a certain threshold could get grants, first of all, and that would also help. And then there's a provision for loans, because we think that's important in order to make sure that we infuse opportunities in businesses. Then we're also making sure that businesses get the technical capacity that they need. And then we have, like, for an example, Twin Cities Rise, who talks about an empowerment zone, right? So that we are making sure that we're building up workers and creating opportunities for them to build their capacity, but also utilize their talents in the marketplace, and then making sure that they can make a family-sustaining wage, not just a livable wage, but a family-sustaining wage. Any other questions? If not, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. We hope that you'll continue on this journey with us as we bring this bill across the finish line, and we would hope that if you have any connections in the House or on the House floor or the Senate floor, that you put in a good word for this Senate bill, because we think it's a phenomenal opportunity for Minnesotans. And thank you to each person that's here. Even though they all didn't speak verbally, their presence speaks largely. And I just want to just tell them thank you for being so thoughtful and taking the time out to come over and visit us here in the Capitol. So with that, thank you so much. God bless.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you.